Well, I guess anybody who has vowed to themselves to read the whole Bible front to back has probably read today's scripture because it's the first two pages. In some ways, I think these two pages summarize the entire Bible. Dream big, work hard, work smart, and rest when you need to. The key takeaway, however, is goodness. God looked over all that God had created and called it good. Light, dark, good. Sky, water, land, good. Plants, trees, good. Sun, moon, good. Birds, fish, good. Animals, people, good. Rest, good. All of it, good, so very good. If creation is designed for goodness and the created, that's us, share in goodness with the Creator, then doesn't the rest of the Bible just fall into place? The Jewish Shema in Deuteronomy 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Micah 6, act justly. Love mercy and walk humbly with your God. Luke 10, love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 3, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one. These are all expressions of a creation in love with its creator, feeling its goodness, and vice versa. Genesis is not a science lesson. I'm not going to try to tell you that God's days are longer than our days, or that everything happened in exactly this order. The order of things is surprisingly accurate in relationship to scientific thinking. Genesis describes a primordial stew. The raging waters covered everything, and there was complete darkness. It turns out that that was actually true. The land didn't appear until the tectonic plates started rubbing together and volcanoes started erupting and land started to form. Genesis said God gathered the land into one place, and it turns out that our continents combine and separate about every 250 million years. We know that virtually every culture has a creation story that describes the action of a deity assembling the world as they know it and establishing a relationship between that deity and humankind. Our creation story differs in many ways because it's not as described as a battle between different gods or different forces, but it's an act of a beneficent God in love with creation. So it's interesting to take this story and create a hypothetical setting for it. The reason I chose the image of the earth shot from behind the moon is because it gives this view from afar. Maybe that's the perspective God had as God created. God doesn't appear to be alone in this because we hear conversations during the creation. We created them in our own image. In Scripture, we read of God's consort, Sophia, or wisdom. We read about cherubim, spirits, even devils as non-human beings existing with God. I wonder, is the earth and its creatures God's first creation, or is it one in a series that we haven't figured out the rest of? What did God's companions think of this venture? God finds out soon enough it's not going to work out the way that God had planned. Adam and Eve rebel. People get high on power and build the Tower of Babel. People start murdering each other, conniving against each other, and in general, not respecting the possibilities for goodness that were built into the creational plan. If Earth was God's coming out party, it didn't necessarily go that well. And some of God's responses, floods, fires, plagues, population annihilations, striking people dead, they didn't seem very everything is good-like either, did they? But coming out is never easy, for God or for anybody else. And remembering that we are created in and for goodness is not always easy either, because we hear a lot of negative messages. Last Thursday was National Coming Out Day. We've heard many coming out stories. Some are tragic and others are joyful. And some are just, oh, by the way. I think our daughter's coming out fell into that last category. We as a reconciling congregation have committed ourselves to the belief that we all are created in the image of God and that each of us, each of our created beings, is indeed very good. To use the theme for our worship series, we believe that each person has sacred worth. But to use one of those ugly, recently invented words, how do we operationalize that belief? Reverend M. Barclay, a queer Methodist clergy person who writes some amazing worship resources, explains the system that she and her best friend used to invite each other to come out and play. She writes this: "When I was a kiddo, one of my best friends lived just next door. We spent a lot of time together, and their house was a second home for me. But there were some understood boundaries. We knew not to ring doorbells too early, but we weren't sure exactly what too early was. We knew not to ring doorbells too late, but we weren't really sure what too late was either. And we knew on holidays it might not be appropriate to ring doorbells, but there was a chance that maybe we could play at the right unknown time. In hopes of being respectful, but also communicating availability and the desire to play, we had an unspoken system. In the road between our houses stood a basketball hoop. The sound of the ball bouncing, ricocheting off the backboard, the very occasional swoosh, all functioned as a message. Come out and play if you can. Come out and play. If you do, you don't have to worry. I'm already here. Come out and play. If you can't, I understand." It was a pretty foolproof system. There was no way to answer the sound of the ball beating against the ground incorrectly. It was just an assurance and an invitation when and if play was desired. My wife Jeannie tells me she could never go over to the neighbor's house first. Even if the neighbor was outside, she couldn't join without a specific invitation. Those were the rules in her house. It's too bad she didn't have a basketball hoop. How do we let LGBTQ persons know that this is a safe space, a place where their sacred worth is understood, a place that they could call home no matter what they have heard from or been told by church people before? Lynn and Kelly said it was the rainbow banner that drew them in. Many straight and cisgender folks are also drawn in by the banner because they too want to worship where everyone is welcome. When we were discussing becoming a reconciling congregation, some people said, "Why do we have to do that? Everybody's already accepted here now." That may be true, but for people who have been battered and bruised by the church before, there's no incentive to walk in the door without some hopeful sign. Banners might give persons the courage to walk in the door. M. Barclay and her neighbor understood the basketball invitation. But our banner invitation needs to be interpreted and acted on because we've just met. Person has just walked in the door. Bishop Karen Oliveto, our only out Methodist bishop, tweeted this message on National Coming Out Day, reflecting on Jesus' raising of Lazarus from the dead. Jesus calls out to Lazarus as he calls out to all of us, "Come out." But Jesus also reminds us that the beloved community is required to join in and help. Jesus says, "Unbind him." We would say, "Unbind them," and "set him free." Lazarus comes to life, but the community is called upon to unbind his grave clothes. Jesus directed his friends and family to unbind those clothes so Lazarus could truly come to life. Jesus' command, "Come out," was not enough. It took a village. So our job is to be home for their authentic selves and their families, to be here to unbind folks and to set them free as they hear the call to come out. For those of us who are allies, whether friends or parents or perfect strangers, we often worry about getting it wrong. Gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, cisgender, straight, asexual, pansexual, intersex, the list seems to keep getting longer and longer. But last week we talked about boxes. Remember the video we watched last week? And people found that they really existed in many different boxes. It's kind of messy because we don't have, there's not a box that it has all our unique characteristics. We have to see that we belong in many boxes. So it's so messy that we need to take a simple approach. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. How can I help you feel at home? Of course, we'll make mistakes. Creation didn't always work out the way God had planned it either. Think duck-billed platypuses. Lays eggs, has a beak, it's a mammal. You know, it's so confused. Each of our stories is continually unfolding. Remain open to the Spirit's guidance. Listen deeply. Bounce the ball. Trust. God is still. God is still writing your story. Quit trying to steal the pen. What does Reverend Barclay's story suggest? Bounce the ball. Bounce the ball. Like a dear friend others haven't met yet, bounce the ball. Wait with desire and anticipation and respectful consideration. Each thump is an expression of a holy calling. Come out and play, thump. We need you, thump. If you're worried, know that we're already here, thump. You won't be alone, thump. If you can't yet, we understand, thump. But we'll ask again soon. Because God created humans in God's own image, and because we are all very good. Amen.